for the contrite. Comfort for the contrite.
Brother Jim McClugan.
In Christ all fullness dwells. From him proceeds all that fallen man, poor, wretched, guilty needs. In him the contrite, bruised in spirit, find whate'er can heal the sorrows of the mind. Forgiving love that saves from blank despair. Rich grace that banishes each anxious care. Soft pity that relieves the bursting sigh. And truth revealing joys that never die. Thrice happy they who to his word attend, his favor seek on, and on his strength depend. 'Tis theirs to know his heart-consoling voice, to share his smile and in his name rejoice. To them reclaimed in mercy from the fall, and heavenward marching, Christ is all. In want, their treasure. In distress, their stay. In gloom, their day-spring vigor. In decay, mid foes, their guard. In solitude, their guest. In storms, their hiding place. In toils, their rest. In bonds, their freedom. Their relief in pain. In life, their glory. And in all things, gain. Sister Linda and I are rejoicing to be in your midst. Going to repeat a statement that Brother Stanley always says: we're never happier than when we're with the Lord's people. And how true that is. Keep saying that, Brother Stanley. We're happy to be here. And we want to bring the love of your brethren in Mahomet. They all unanimously voted to send their love. Brother Jimmy Dean from Orlando, the Castleberry class, wanted to be specially remembered. Brother John and Sister Dolores Forsyth, St. Louis. I'm certain their love will be brought again. You know, as we are preparing for convention, there's a lot that goes in to preparing one's heart and mind. You study, try to look at your experiences, why you think you're ready to come and to share the blessings of the Lord that you have received. But then you get to convention and you find that you're not ready yet. The fellowship with the brethren helps all the more to have one's heart fixed in the right place. The discourses that we're given. Thank you, brethren. Thank you, Brother Frank. We're strangers and pilgrims. We have no continuing city here. Let's fix our heart where our treasure is. That's in the heavenlies. Take heed, dear brethren. The Lord, through Brother Albert, brought so many of those wonderful things to us. Are they just mere words? No, we need them. It helps prepare our hearts. Thank you, Brother Harry, for those things that were said in prophecy in the book of Revelation, and how they are so plainly shown to us on the printed page of history, how those things have come to pass. Thank you, Brother Allen. The Vesper service really helps prepare our hearts for these things that are near and dear. This particular subject, comfort for the contrite. One always asks, well, why did you pick that? Well, we were requested some time ago to look into a subject such as this because one that was near and dear to us had a particular experience that drew that one close to the Lord. And they wanted to share those things that they had found from the Lord. And one of those things was this particular subject. And the reprint 52:17 is very good. I want you all, when you leave this place, kind of remember that. Go back and in your private state, look at that. And you'll receive a rich blessing as we have. And that the writings of the pastor will supply much more than we'll be able to. And in that particular reprint is one of the most favorite scriptures that we could ever share. And it's from Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. When you think of that scripture, what does it mean to you? The high and lofty one. I have a hard time with that sometimes. It's hard to fathom our God, isn't it? The one who inhabiteth eternity. He was always there. You understand that fully, don't you? You understand how all that works. Of course you don't. You don't understand that. I don't understand that. But we believe that it's so. We believe that it's true. It takes faith to do that. But it's not faith that hasn't been founded with some evidence and some concrete substance for us to believe these things. So we take it as truth. And it is. Thus saith the high and lofty one. Brother Russell said, Jehovah is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the hills, before the firstborn was created, he is God. He was there. How long was he there? Always. He was always there. Again, we can't fathom that. Our understanding is basically the here and now and those little things that are promised to us that we can see and grasp. But eternity, forever, these basically are just words that we have never experienced. But we will. When faithful, we will. And not only ourselves, but the world of mankind. To Moses at the burning bush, he said, I am that I am. Remember that in Exodus 3:14. Our God is very great, very wise, very high. That's an understatement. Very high. Nevertheless, the scriptures show us that he also is very sympathetic. Aren't we glad? He is a God of mercy and love. We study and look into his attributes. And we know that he isn't all love, but he has all love. He's not all power, but he has all power. He's not all wisdom, but he has all wisdom. He's not all justice, but he has all justice. Makes a difference, doesn't it? And so we have these four attributes of God all working in unison together. How it enriches our hearts and lives when we consider our God as the high and lofty one, the one that inhabits eternity. The passage from our text, which our text is taken, informs us that if God were to contend with humanity, what would be the end of the matter? The end of the strife would be that mankind would be blotted out from existence. That's right. It's a fearful thing to have the living God look upon us without some kind of in-between. Adam sinned. What happened? the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And were it not for the love of God and mercy and his sympathetic nature, we would still be in our sins and would be men most miserable. But he remembers that we are dust. That's true. And has compassion on us. Compassion. You ever thought about that word? What does that word mean? Compassion. The feeling for another's sorrow or hardship that leads to help, sympathy, pity. We have compassion where we pity someone, but yet it leads to action on our behalf to help someone out of their dilemmas. Do we have a God like that? Do you have a God that's sympathetic, compassionate? You certainly do. And aren't you glad? Come on, let's see some head nods here. Yes, you are glad. Yes, you are glad. To not be glad about that would be a sign of some weakness, wouldn't it? A sign of some lack of appreciation for your God, for my God. But we want to, through the very best of our fallen ability, to give God all the glory for all things. So the experiences that we have, they help prepare our hearts to meet God. We want to meet him now, even as we're standing here, even as we're sitting here. We want to feel close to our Heavenly Father. And we want him to feel close to us. We want to continue to draw nigh. Are we drawing nigh to the Heavenly Father? I hope so. In this respect, he is different from other gods. The other gods are what? Domineering. Bent on wreaking vengeance upon those in their power. We have a loving God. We were talking with some earlier and how that when we're out in the world, we come in contact with many individuals who don't appreciate God, speak of eternal torment and those kind of things. And we always are quick to remind them that this kind of an action never even entered into his mind. That's the kind of God we have. Besides being very great and lofty, our God is particularly sympathetic towards those who are of a broken and contrite heart, whose spirit is humble, who realize that they are imperfect, who desire to be in accord with him and to dwell in holiness. If we have that, he's ever near. Our angels always behold the face of the Father. He's there. He's there with his compassion to revive the spirit of the humble. It's important, isn't it? To give them strength. No, he won't trample them in the dust. He won't do it. He wants to lift us up. He will assist any and all who are of this spirit in the right way to revive the heart of the contrite. These are to know that our God is a God of sympathy, compassion, and love, who takes pleasure. Think about that. Our God takes pleasure in reviving their hearts and in bringing them back into harmony with him. If, there's that little word, if they're willing to be led. If you're willing to be led, we can never go too far from God, can we? Because God is faithful. He is with us in all of our experiences. There's not one experience that you or I have gone through that the Lord hasn't really tailor-made for us. We had the great joy of talking to some of you about some of your experiences and how that the realization of your heart and mind was that very fact. That having gone through the experience, that if the Lord then placed a list of experiences that you could choose to go through, you would pick that very one that you have just gone through. Just like God. He puts forth for us the right experiences at the right time. There's things that He doesn't take pleasure in. He doesn't take pleasure that any should die. He created all of His creation that they should live. So He takes pleasure in reviving our hearts. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth. The righteous cry. Does He hear all cries? No. He hears the cries of the righteous. And the Lord heareth and delivered them out of all of their troubles. Some of their troubles. How much is all? Not just this much, that much is all. Do you believe that? Hope that you do. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalms 34, 17 and 18. We look into Strong's and for the word contrite, what do we find? Crushed. A crushed spirit, contrite. We look in the dictionary, contrite means a broken spirit by a sense of guilt. Broken spirit by a sense of guilt. Penitent. And if you're interested in the Latin, it means contritious. Crushed to grind. So contrition then, looking at that word, I think it's very important because we want to have a contrite heart when we get into difficulty. We want to have contrition of heart. Sorrow for one's sins or guilt. Sincere repentance. Deep regret. Brother Russell pins this, that there's a difference between a broken heart and a contrite heart. A heart is broken when it is bowed down with grief and sorrow. The world is full of hearts that are broken. Open the paper every morning. Open it every night. And what do you see? You see calamity. You see the obituary column. Every time you look into there to look, kind of see if there's someone that you're acquainted with in that obituary column. Doesn't make any difference if you see someone there you know or not, but every name there, behind the face of that name, there's someone with a broken heart. We had a personal experience with that not too so many years ago. Sister Linda's father, after a long bout of cancer, he died. And her mother was very saddened by it. And she had been a stroke victim and for some 3 or 4 years earlier, and he had taken care of her along with our help. So she had grown very close to him. Through love and then through need. Sister Linda was making a doctor's appointment for her. And while she was on the phone, she said in the background, "See if he has anything for a broken heart." It's a pitiful condition, isn't it? But that condition is real. It's out there. Had nothing to do with causing that, but yet a heart is broken. So So you want to note the difference between a broken heart and a contrite heart. A heart is contrite when it has, listen up now, a quiet, deep, continual sorrow for acts not in harmony with righteousness. Quite a difference. One you have no control over, the other one you had no control over, evidently, but now you have an opportunity to by having a quiet, deep, continued sorrow for acts not in harmony with righteousness. Quite a difference. If you go away with anything from this lesson, remember that. Brother Russell also says that along with that, there the will is involved. A broken will is not necessarily the same. For there are those whose wills are broken, but who are not submissive to the divine will. See, there's a difference. Think about that. What about Judas? Wasn't he sorry for what he did, but was his sorrow a contrition of heart in accord with the divine will? If it had been, he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have gone into second death. But it wasn't that was not the case, was it? This humble, discouraged condition becomes very favorable. One, if the person will seek divine assistance. If he will become submissive to the Lord and ready to do the divine will. Such will surely receive the blessing of God, for the Lord is very nigh to everyone who is brokenhearted in a special way. The way to full consecration would be very short to him. Now think about that. When you think back over your life, it's true, many have been fostered and grown up into nurtured into the truth, but many of us have not. We've been out there in the world slogging it out. We know that many that have come to the truth because of an experience that is very hard, that breaks their heart. And when you have an experience like that, the world is drawn, if they're so mentally disposed, to desire to draw closer to the Lord. And when one is in that condition, it's more conducive to hearing and to appreciating the truth. I know of those who have had hard experiences and have come to appreciate the truth because of that hard experience. Brother Russell writes of this. So we need experiences. And these hard experiences can become favorable. If such as be of contrite heart will be submissive to the Lord, he will save them from their difficulties and bring them into a large place. Psalms 18:19. This is a large place. Not large enough. Well, we could go out in the parking lot. Still not large enough. How we go down to the stadium? Not large enough. Well, what is large enough? To be dwelling in the heart of the high and lofty one. That is a very large place. And we rejoiced in the fact that first thing I came out from the bedroom this morning, the first person to greet me was one of the Lord's dear consecrated ones with, "Oh, brother, look at what I've been reading here this morning." I'm going to share that with you. That's from reprint 5500. Psalm 66:8-12 especially. It's from the Lord thy God is a faithful God. And if we can find it real fast. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our souls in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou layest affliction upon our loins. That's true. Thou has caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest up us out into a wealthy place. It's the same large place, isn't it? And the wealthy there in the margin means moist. Moist. Something dry, that means the Lord's Spirit is not there when we think of that in that way. But if something is moist, you see, it's alive. It's growing. Psalm 16:6 is another scripture that brings this to mind. It was in that very same reprint. And it says that he will bring us into pleasant places, dwelling in the heart of the Lord. Is a large place, dear brethren. And dwelling here with you, my brethren, that enriches my heart. I hope that enriches yours. We're never happier than when we are with the Lord's people. Very important for us to see. But that means that he'll bring us out and shield us from every experience. Right? No. Right, Brother Robbie? No. He won't do it, will he? Why? Because it is for our highest development that we have experiences that will draw us close to the Lord. And that when the experiences is over, you, as others have found out, will say, glad I went through that experience. Don't want to go through it again. But it's just what the doctor ordered. Did he leave me in that experience to fend for myself? Absolutely not. He gave me a medicine cabinet to go to. He didn't say, he didn't drag me by the arm and say, now you get up there and you open up that cabinet and see what's in it. No, he encouraged us that it's there for our use. We have to avail ourselves to the Lord's medicine cabinet. It's there for all. It's there for you. It's there for me. And when our experience seemed to be hard and seemed to crush us down, go to the Lord and remember, there'll be no trial too hard that we cannot bear. Precious promise. Are these promises becoming, as the pastor mentioned, living realities? If we didn't have experiences to go through, how could we claim these promises as ours? How could we see the Lord in action through these promises? We couldn't do it. We have to have experiences that help us to appreciate our God. Does this mean necessarily that he will deliver them from financial trouble? Brother Russell says. No. Doesn't mean that. But that he will give them peace and rest, which are better than money. If we have family troubles, they will find in him a superior friend who is able and willing to administer superior consolation and refreshment. Remember what is said of Moses? And God spake unto Moses as a man speaketh unto a friend. He wasn't spirit begotten. But yet God spoke to him as a man speaketh to a friend. Is your Heavenly Father your friend? Speak to him often. and he will listen. The righteous cry, and he shall deliver them out of all their troubles. Did you listen to the words to the hymn this morning? Were you moved by them? If you can't remember, we're going to help you out here a little bit. Come, ye disconsolate, where'er ye languish, come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded heart, here tell your anguish. Earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. Joy of the desolate, light of the straying, hope of the penitent, fadeless and pure. Here speaks the Comforter, tenderly saying, earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. Again, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. But aren't we told that there is none righteous, no, not one? Well, if that be the case, how can he hear us? There is a righteousness in a relative sense, Brother Russell says, that God can approve. Moses was a friend of God because of his faith. It's important, isn't it? Those who are seeking to be in harmony with him to the best of their ability, who are walking in the ways of righteousness, at the same time are trusting in the precious blood of our Redeemer, such are spoken of as righteous, made right in God's sight. Justification. If we don't have any justification in God's sight, there's no way that we can be made right in His sight. But aren't we glad? Provision has been made through His Son, that God, through Spirit begettal, justification instantaneous, and then sanctification taking place, we can walk. We can be righteous in God's sight because we're actually righteous. Nope. But we're walking in the way of righteousness. Important, isn't it? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. End of statement. No. For they shall be filled. If you're seeking after something, especially walking towards God, drawing nigh to Him, do you think God says, I don't think so. I'm not going to help you. You shall be filled. That's what we want. The scripture that comes to mind often, and we just had a practical example of this yesterday, that was very powerful to me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things would be added unto you. And remember the scripture, Philippians 3:15. If in anything you err, as many as ye be perfect in the flesh, absolutely not. But perfect in your heart towards God, pressing toward and down upon the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. As many as ye be perfect, and if in anything you err, God is faithful to show you those things. If your heart is going astray just for a moment, if you say something stupid, I did yesterday in the evening meal line. Brother came up and asked me a question. We were talking. I said something very silly in retrospect. And all of a sudden I could feel a little twinge. Ooh. So I just passed it off. Went down, sat down to eat, and all of a sudden, ooh, something was nagging at me. Passed it off a little bit. And this nagging got worse. I said, what is it? Then I went back and thought. Something that we had said was very seemingly small. But the more I thought about it, the larger it got. We could see an element of something that's not desirable in any of the Lord's people or in anyone. The ugliness of pride. You don't want that at all. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful to us. In preparing our hearts. So I asked the Lord's forgiveness quickly. Then we went to the brother and asked him to forgive us. You know, here you're preparing to give a talk such as one like this, and yet not having been fully prepared for it until that experience. He is faithful, it promised. We want to walk in the right way. We want to be led of the Lord, do we not? And aren't we glad and appreciative when He shows us the right way? It's true, we have to be willing. We have to be receptive. We have to have the conscience that would be tweaked just enough that we would see that something was not right. Through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's true. But you know, God does not leave us without hope. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Any and all who are going through trying experiences, remember that these trials, these things that weigh us down, will bring experience and bringing patience along those lines. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. Hope's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Without hope, we have nothing to place and to base our faith and anchor on. We have nothing to hold on to. Just came to mind that I saw a movie not too long ago. It was called The Shawshank Redemption. It was about a man whose wife had been killed and he was falsely accused. And they convicted him and he spent long years in prison. But he was a remarkable character and he never lost hope. And even those around him said, get rid of that. That's a dangerous thing to have, is hope. But he clung and held on to that hope. And how much more should we cling and to hold on to our hope that is beyond the veil? What does hope do for us? 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready always to give an answer for any that ask your reason of the hope that's in your heart in meekness and in love. Is hope important? Absolutely. Are we called to express the hope that we have? You better believe it. And do we express that? Hope that we do. How should we express it? In meekness and in love. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Again, justification through spirit begettal. Very important, isn't it? The world is traveling in the opposite direction to righteousness, in the way of selfishness and gratification of sin. We are in the world, but not of it. And it's very difficult sometimes because we're walking in a different direction than the world. Sometimes it's not a very pleasant place to be. The world is a very uncomfortable place to be. Right, Brother Frank? Do not detain me. Do not set your affections on things of the earth, but the things that are eternal. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. Dear brethren, we're beset with this tribunal of trouble plaguing us, the world, the flesh, and the adversary. But I've said often that we have the antidote for that, and it's the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. Sometimes the world leaves us. We're in a place like this. Here we are. World's out there. We're in here. We're in this safe ship of the Lord's, the hollow of His hand. But the adversary, Brother Russell, we found someone, we looked at a reprint the other night, I think last night, it says that in some little article that Satan is at our conventions. And he is ready, willing, and able, and desirous of stirring up strife among the brethren. Talked briefly, a sister was commenting about that thing, and how one said, Satan is very quick to magnify something that's like this into something that's like this. You've all experienced it, haven't you? I've experienced it, been party to it. Is that the spirit of love? No. Spirit of the adversary. And there's another element that is so insidious. It's called the flesh. World leaves us at a time. Satan will leave us occasionally. But the flesh you always have with you. I found that out last night. It's a pitiful condition, this flesh that we carry around with us. No, none righteous. No, not one. But yet our hearts are not in harmony with those things that we do. We could quote the Apostle Paul on that. You all know it. Does that bring you comfort? Absolutely it does. Men of like passion, such as we are. But again, we have the antidote for that. Seeking the Lord. Do we not? There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Did you hear that? There is not a righteous man. Well, we know the world is not righteous, so that must be talking to us. Righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Dear brethren, we're going to sin. We're going to sin in thought. We're going to sin in word. And we're going to sin in action. Now here's the kicker. How long are we going to be in harmony with that sin? Hopefully not very long. Hopefully not very long. Well, how will we find out about it? Lord will bring it to our attention. Well, how will He do that? Through His Word. Through the brethren. Through an experience. We are all living these practical experiences, aren't we? Would you have it any other way? No. We think we're pretty good. Lord will show us that we're not. And again, we'll get into the right balance. And that's what we always want. I love this from this reprint, 52:17. A just man will not fall into sin. At the very most could happen to him, he would stumble. There are various causes for stumbling. But if the heart is right, the man will rise again, for the Lord will show him that he has made a mistake. See, that's the Lord's part, faithful. And will point out the way to him by which he may recover himself. Shows that there's an active part on our behalf, and we have to have action back. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So good, so precious to us, we'll quote it twice. It's important. If he is a lover of righteousness, he will desire to press on toward that which is right, just, approved of the Lord, even if he should stumble many times. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Psalms 37, 23 and 24. Proverbs 24 and 16. You know of these scriptures. We're just reminding you of them. Reminding you myself of these scriptures. Isaiah 42, 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. If there is a little spark, a little flame of fire, does the Lord come by with his big hose and put out that smoking flax? No, he brings his billows of truth. He brings his breeze from the brethren. He brings the comfort from the word of his own book. And what does he do? Does he blow on them with the gale force? No. He goes with the billows of truth. He goes. A little more smoke there. Oh, I see a flame. Burning bright again. Isn't that exactly what the Lord does for us? Carry that picture in your heart. Elements of character that will cause us to remain in God's care. We must be just. We must love righteousness. Isn't that one of the things that is very important to us if we're going to meet the various quarter marks along the lines of love? We must love righteousness, desire to do right. Trusting in the precious blood and merit of our Master. Remember, we have an advocate with the Father. Humble-mindedness, isn't that a character that is needful for us to remain in God's loving care? Remain little in our own eyes. Again, we'll have experiences that if we demean and diminish the efforts of others, when they put their whole heart in it, and we make it a little less than we ought, that's not being as humble as we ought to be. And are we glad that our Father will get us back on the right track with His breath of life? Strength. Can't go through a discourse without mentioning my special brother, Brother Don. He always mentioned this. Our strength cometh from God who made heaven and earth. Just think about that. He resists the proud, that's true. But what does he do? He gives grace unto the humble. Contrition of heart. Again, what's the definition for that? A quiet, deep, continue sorrow for acts not in harmony with righteousness. When we stumble, God will revive us if we are of a contrite and humble spirit. There's a contrast to these scriptures that if we don't have this contrite heart, when we stumble, not fall, but when we stumble, even though it be seven times. It's a picture that we're stumbling a lot. Doesn't mean just seven literal times. It means as often as we stumble, God is there. And we don't want to make a sin unto death, do we? So there are scriptures to contrast this. Brother Darcy brought to our attention. The scriptures that deal with the Hebrews account in chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. And when we find ourselves in trouble, aren't we glad that there is an avenue for us to approach God by? Therefore, brethren, having boldness or confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Are we counting on that? Absolutely. Here's another action word. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with what? A true heart. Can't draw near with a heart that's not true. But if our heart is true, we can draw near to the Heavenly Father in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Again, had that experience. We had the experience that we found that our conscience wasn't evil, but it helped us get back on the right track. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For He is faithful that promised. Brother Darcy brought to our attention, let us consider one another. Why should we do that? If we don't consider one another, we're spending too much time considering what we're doing in love, preferring one another. To exhort one another, to help build one another up in this most holy way. And how do we do that, dear brethren? By the very means that has brought you here today. By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Our salvation is closer today than it was yesterday, than the day before. Closer than the day you first believed. The Lord is close to us. And we're only a blink away of being with the Lord. Let us be faithful, dear brethren, and consider one unto good works. Dear brethren, we're thankful that we have lessons like this. And if you don't think you need a lesson like this, I'm flat out here to tell you, you're lying to yourself. We all need the admonitions from the Lord. We all need the take heed. Thank you, Brother Albert. Lest ye fall. It's important. That's one side of the coin. Why is it important for others? You know, many of us at certain times feel that we have fallen so far that our faith has dipped so low that we're going to go into second death. There's no hope for me. You see, the very attitude of that shows the opposite. We went through an experience like that with my very mother. Took her a year through this hard experience of depression. And when a mind is depressed, they think of things that bring you low. So a talk like this is designed to bring encouragement. So may we all be blessed as we consider these things from the Word of the Lord, that we might grow and be filled more with His Holy Spirit, and that we might draw close to Him and make our calling and election sure. May the Lord bless us all.
We thank you, Brother Jim, for those encouraging words, admonitions, promises.
Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, the high and lofty One who inhabiteth eternity, who who only thou art holy. Thank you, Father, for your precious promises, the strength of your word, the abiding with us continually. And help us to go forth from this place with strength renewed, that we might be refreshed and to be lifted up, and that we might see thy smile, and that we might help build one another up in this most holy faith, that we all might be found faithful. And we pray these things in giving all thanks to thee, and desiring to leave thee in thy care and keeping always. In Jesus' precious name, amen.